Identifying a Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The highest of human traits are personified in a prophet, and his message is based on what is known and familiar to human nature. The fountainhead of all virtues is two things: remembering the Almighty and showing sympathy to the poor. A prophet is an embodiment of these virtues, and urges others as well to adopt them. Whatever he says to people conforms to the highest intellectual standard, and what he says relates only to those things about which man can become indifferent or forgetful. Moreover, his prophethood is not something which can be acquired through self-effort. Hence, every right-minded person has no difficulty in recognizing him. If a person has a discerning mind and a vibrant heart, then the very person of a prophet is a miracle. Tell them, "Had God pleased, I would never have recited this Quran to you, nor would he have made you aware of it. It is his decision, because I have spent a lifetime among you. Do you not use your senses?" Surah 10, verse 16. However, besides this, the Almighty blesses a prophet with potent signs which, though may not induce his adversaries to openly acknowledge him, but are enough to leave them with no excuse to deny his veracity. For this very reason, at one place, the Quran, in Surah 4, verse 159, has declared that everyone from among the people of the book of the times of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before his own death would profess faith in him. It is evident from the Quran that these signs are given to every prophet, and their nature depends on his times and circumstances. We shall mention a few of these in the following paragraphs. A prophet generally comes in accordance with the prediction of the prophet who precedes him, and comes as fulfillment of this prediction. Viewed thus, he is not an unintroduced personality. People are familiar with him, and also await him. It is known from the Quran, in Surah 3, verse 39, that the Prophet John, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, foretold the coming of Jesus, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all over Jerusalem. It is evident from the Quran, in Surah 7, verse 157, that the predictions of the advent of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are mentioned both in the Old and the New Testaments. One of the primary objectives of the advent of Jesus, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, according to the Quran in Surah 61, verse 6, was to prophesy about the coming of an unlettered prophet in Arabia. The Quran in Surah 6, verse 20, has presented the fact that the scholars of the Israelites recognize it the way an estranged father recognizes his son, as a conclusive proof of its own authenticity. This means that they also fully recognize Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this has been revealed by the Lord of the universe with great care and attention. The faithful spirit has brought it down into your heart, so that you may become a warner to people in eloquent Arabic speech. It is also mentioned in the early scriptures. Is not this a sufficient proof for them that the scholars of the Israelites know him? Surah 26, verses 192-197. Whatever a prophet presents as the word and message of God is without any contradiction and inconsistency. Even the most ultimate of geniuses of this world, like Socrates and Aristotle, Kant and Einstein, Ghalib and Iqbal, Al-Razi and Al-Zamakhshari, cannot make such a claim about the works they have produced. However, the Quran has vehemently asserted about itself that there is not a semblance of contradiction in the philosophy and ideology it presents. Is it possible that for years a person should not give speeches on a variety of topics in different situations and circumstances, and when these speeches are compiled from the beginning to the end, they form such a harmonious and congruous discourse that it has no contradiction of views and does not reflect any effects of mood change of the speaker, and also does not depict any revision or change of views? Only the Quran has this characteristic. Do they not ponder on the Quran? Had it come from someone other than God, they would have found many contradictions in it. Surah 4, verse 82. Imam Amin Ehsan Islahi writes, "So sound and well-knitted is every idea of the Quran, both in its principle and in the corollaries of these principles, that even the formulae of arithmetic and geometry are not as sound and well-knitted. So connected and linked are the beliefs it teaches, that if any one of these beliefs is removed, the whole chain and sequence falls apart. The rituals of worship and other directives it gives spring from beliefs just as branches spring from a stem. The deeds and morals it instructs its followers to obey emanate from their principles in a manner natural and obvious consequences emanate from something. The system of life which comes into existence as a result of its overall teaching is like that of a lead-cemented wall, in which each and every brick is attached to the other, in a manner that it cannot be separated from the other, except if a gap is created in the whole structure. Reference Amin Hassan Islahi, Tadabbur al-Quran, Volume 2, 347. A prophet is blessed with miracles from God. The Quran has specified that one of the reasons for which extraordinary miracles were given to Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Moses sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to authenticate them as messengers of God. Consequently, after mentioning the staff of Moses sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his white hand, the Quran says, "So these are two clear signs from your Lord for the Pharaoh and his leaders. Surely they are disobedient people." Surah 28, verse 32. No one can reject these miracles by pronouncing them as magic or trickery. The reason for this is that the reality behind such things is very much known to those adept in such disciplines, and they too are compelled to acknowledge such miracles. In order to eliminate the influence of the miracles of Moses sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to above, the Pharaoh had adopted this very test. The Quran says that he sent for all the top-notch magicians of his country and presented them before people at a festival. He made this arrangement anticipating victory, but when these magicians saw the staff of Moses sallallahu alaihi wasallam consuming their spells, they prostrated before him at once and declared their faith in the Lord of Moses sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aaron sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Since such faith is only produced when someone witnesses a reality through his very eyes, hence such was its strength that when the Pharaoh threatened to haphazardly cut their hands and feet, and to crucify them on the trunks of palm trees, these magicians, who a very short while ago were imploring for reward from him, declared vehemently that after witnessing such a phenomenon, they did not even care for their lives. Reference the Quran, Surah 7, verse 113. They replied, "We shall never give preference to you over the clear signs which have come to us and over the being who created us. So do what you want. At best, you can only decide the fate of this life. We have professed faith in our Lord, so that He forgives our sins and forgoes this sorcery you have forced us to adopt. God only is good, and He only will remain forever." Surah 20, verses 72-73. The miracle given to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to validate his prophethood is the Quran. When those who are aware of the stylistic features of the Arabic language and of its literary tradition, and also have a literary appreciation of the language when they read the Quran, they clearly feel that this could not have been produced by human beings. Thus, at more than one instance, it has challenged its addressees who do not regard it to be of divine origin, and regard it to be a fabrication of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to produce just a single surah that can match the majestic style of the Quran. If, as they say, a person from their people can do such a thing without any literary background, then they too should have no problem in doing this. This is a very amazing challenge thrown by the Quran. It meant that it is not possible for a human mind to produce anything similar to the Quran. This challenge related to the extraordinary uniqueness of the Quran with regard to its sublime style and eloquence. It required that they present a discourse in which, like the Quran, one could see God speaking in it. It should be a discourse that explains everything that is necessary for mankind, and which was never explained by any human being. It should guide them in affairs in which there is no other means of guidance, a discourse on which our intuition bears witness, which is corroborated by established facts derived from knowledge and reason, which enlivens dead hearts the way rain enlivens desolate terrains, which has the same majesty and grandeur felt in each and every word by every person who knows the language of the Quran. History tells us that no one from among its addressees dared to face this challenge. The Quran says, "And if you are in doubt about what we have revealed to our servant, then go and produce a single surah like it, and for this purpose also call your leaders besides Allah, if you are truthful in your claim. But if you cannot, and of a surety you cannot, then fear the fire whose fuel is these men who do not believe, and these stones also whom they worship. It has been prepared for these rejectors." Surah 2, verses 23-24. This book of God is still with us. 14 centuries have passed ever since it was revealed. During this period, our world has undergone tremendous changes. Many ideologies and thoughts were presented by man, only to be rejected by him later. Theories regarding man's being and those regarding the universe around him were put forth every now and then. Each underwent a process of acceptance or rejection in various periods of time. His intellectual journey took him through various paths and destinations. However, this Book of God is the only book which is as unassailable and sound today as it was 14 centuries ago regarding the various facts it presents, and which have remained under academic discussion in the past 2 centuries. Knowledge and intellect helplessly acknowledged its superiority at that time the way they do today. Every statement it has given has stood the test of time. The world, in spite of its astounding scientific and academic discoveries, has failed to present a better alternative to the views it presents. And we have revealed it with the truth. And with the truth it has come down, and O Prophet, we have sent you forth only to proclaim good news for those who believe, and to give warning to those who deny. Surah 17, verse 105. The Almighty informs a prophet of certain unknown things, which are impossible to come into the knowledge of any other human being. One example of this is the predictions made by divine revelations, which were fulfilled to the utmost. Some of these predictions are mentioned in the Quran, and some in the Hadith narratives. Every student of the Quran is aware of the predictions regarding the supremacy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Arabia, the conquest of Mecca, and the people entering the folds of Islam in multitudes. Another great prediction made by the Quran was the victory of the Romans after being defeated by the Iranians. The Quran says, "The Romans have been defeated in a nearby land, but in a few years after this defeat, they shall become victorious. Whatever happened earlier happened because of God's directive, and what happens later will happen because of His directive. And on that day, the believers will rejoice because of God's help. He helps whomsoever He wants to, and He is the mighty and ever merciful. This is God's promise, and God never goes back on His promise. Yet most men do not know it." Surah 30, verses 2-6. When this prediction was made, then in the words of Edward Gibbon, "No prophecy could be more distant from its accomplishment. Since the first 12 years of Heraclius announced the approaching dissolution of the empire. However, it was fulfilled at the very time it was meant to, and in March 628 AD, the Roman emperor returned to Constantinople with such splendor that 4 elephants were pulling his chariot, and numerous people stood outside the city with lanterns and branches of olive to welcome back their hero." Prophets, who are also designated as messengers or rasul, are a symbol of divine justice in this world and decide the fate of their people in this very world. The details of this premise are that if these messengers abide by their covenant with God, they are rewarded in this world, and if they deviate from it, they are punished in this world. The result is that the very existence of these messengers becomes a sign of God. And it is as if they witness God walking with these messengers on earth and administering justice. It is this situation which becomes the basis of passing judgment by the Almighty, both in this world and in that to come. Consequently, the Almighty grants supremacy to these messengers and punishes those who reject their message. And for each community there is a messenger. Then when their messenger comes, their fate is decided with justice and they are not wronged. Surah 10, verse 47. Prophets are human beings. Prophets are human beings. Thus they come in this world, eat, drink, sleep, walk about, marry, and die just as all human beings do. None of them was God, His incarnation, a deity, or an angel. The Quran has clarified at a number of places that there is no difference between them and other human beings as far as their genre is concerned. The Quran has cited the demand of the addressees of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if he is a prophet of God, he should make for them houses of gold, generate for them canals and rivers, make the season of spring descend in their deserts, plant for them orchards of grapes and dates, release on them pieces of the heavens, bring God and the angels face to face with them, go to the heavens and bring back a written document for them. Though none of these demands was impossible for God to fulfill, but He directed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to clearly tell His addressees that He was a human being and not a superhuman that such demands be made from him. Say, glory be to my Lord, am I not but a messenger who is a human being? And nothing prevents men from professing faith when guidance is revealed to them but the excuse, can it be that God has sent a human being as a messenger? Tell them, had the angels been walking about comfortably in the earth, we would have sent down to them an angel from heavens as a messenger. Surah 17, verse 93-95. However, this does not mean that as far as their knowledge and personality, character and spirituality, and qualities of head and heart are concerned, they are similar to common people. Certainly not. A study of their life and times shows that they are the cream of their nation, have exemplary qualities, and epitomize human attributes. The Quran has told us that if their Lord pleases, He blesses them with special knowledge and power of judgment for this purpose. About John, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran has said, O John, hold steadfast to the Book of God, and in his childhood we granted him the ability to make judgments and bestowed on him kindliness and purity. And he was a pious person and one who honored the rights of his parents. He was neither arrogant nor rebellious. Surah 19, verses 12-14. About Moses, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran has said, And when he had reached maturity and grown to manhood, we bestowed on him knowledge and the ability to make judgments. This was a reward of his qualities. Thus do we reward the righteous. Surah 28, verse 14. Not only this, the prophets of God are also blessed with the light of innate guidance, the light which every person has been blessed with in its most ultimate form. They always keep its flame fully alight and shield it from the storms that arise within man's inner self. Thus, before they are blessed with divine revelation from God, their heart and mind are very pure, and the truth is already evident to them to a great extent. The Quran calls this state of their inner enlightenment as bayina. It is evident from various incidents from the lives of the prophets that they present divine revelation as an evidence for this inner enlightenment and the vision they possess. About Noah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran has said, He said, O my people, tell me if I am on a clear evidence from my Lord, and He has bestowed upon me a blessing of His own, and you have not been able to see it, can we forcibly stick it on you while you are fed up with it? Surah 11, verse 28. About Saleh, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran has said, He said, O my people, have you ever thought that if I am on a clear evidence from my Lord, and then He has also bestowed on me His grace, then who would protect me from God if I disobeyed Him? Surah 11, verse 63. About Shu'aib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran has said, He said, O my people, tell me if I am on a clear evidence from my Lord, and then He has also bestowed on me the gracious gift of wahi, then what should I call you to accept this? And I do not wish to oppose you, and thus do what I forbid you. Surah 11, verse 88. A prophet's nature. A prophet stands at the zenith of human nature. It is evident from what is mentioned about their lives in divine scriptures that both anger and mercy are found in them. Anxiety and apprehension, grief and distress also touch them, and they also experience longing and sorrow. They feel sad too, and if they commit some mistake, they also feel remorse. Like humble servants of God, they too express repentance before Him, and at times engage in emphatic debate and discussion with Him. They are equipped with such emotions in order to create harmony between them and their addressees, before whom they proclaim the truth to the extent that they are left with no excuse to deny it, and in order that these addressees are influenced by them. If, like the angels, they were devoid of such emotions, their message would not have influenced anyone. Not only this, besides being exemplary human beings, they are the most perfect individuals among their people. A study of their lives reveals that each prophet is the most outstanding person of his nation, a guardian of its cultural traditions, and an embodiment of all its virtues. No doubt he is devoid of all the vices of his nation. However, as far as its traits and characteristics are concerned, he is such a complete embodiment of them that both he and his people are like mirrors for each other. They can see themselves in each other. For this very reason, the Quran has said that if the Almighty had made the angels and prophets as messengers, He would have them human beings, Because without this, there would have been no effective channel and means of communication between prophets and their people. And if we had made a prophet an angel, we would have given him the semblance of a human, and in this manner would have put them in doubt in which they now are in. Surah 6 verse 9. However, the matter of prophets, who only come to deliver the truth to the degree that no one among their people would be left with an excuse to deny it, is different to some extent. One example of this is John, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Jesus, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By nature, they seemed more akin to angels, thus little did their people benefit from them. Innocence of prophets. Only those people are chosen as prophets who are able to shield themselves from the lures of their inner self, as well as those of Satan, guard themselves against sin, and are the righteous and pious among their people. In Surah An'am, after enumerating many prophets, it is said, all of them were among the righteous. Surah 6, verse 86. At another place, the words are, and remember our servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, men of might and vision. We choose them for a special mission, reminding people about the hereafter, and with us they are counted among the best and the most righteous of men. And also remember Ishmael, Elisha, and Dhu al-Kifl. We choose all of them, and all of these were the best of men. Surah 38, verses 45 to 48. As a reward for exercising care and showing piety, the Almighty also protects them. It is clearly evident from what ensued between the Prophet Joseph, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the royal lady of Egypt that even before being designated as a prophet, if a situation arises in which it becomes difficult for him to shield himself, the Almighty does so with his special burhan, or sign. This burhan is the divine spark which is found in every human being. However, according to a divine law, in people who duly honor it and accept its guidance in the vicissitudes of life, it becomes stronger and brighter, and in all delicate circumstances glitters and sparkles even more to light up the darkness that might come before the eyes. The result is that they are able to persevere on what is right. And that woman had advanced to him, and Joseph too would have advanced to her, had he not seen a sign from his Lord. Thus did we do in order to keep away evil and wantonness from him. Indeed, he was from among our chosen servants. Surah 12, verse 24. The blemish of Adam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned in the Quran, should not become a source of misunderstanding for anyone. No doubt, the Quran has used the word isyan, or disobedience, for it. However, the Almighty has clarified in the Quran itself that the reason for this blemish was forgetfulness. It is apparent from this that the act of disobedience did not result because he had succumbed to base desires, nor did he do it willfully. It is evident from the Quran that when Satan swore many times before him and assured him that he was his well-wisher and made him believe that he would become eternal by eating the fruit of the very tree that has been forbidden to him, he was enticed by Satan's lures and, being overcome with emotions, ended up disobeying his Lord. However, he never insisted on his lapse and became very ashamed and repented before God, who graciously forgave him and blessed him with prophethood. And before this, we bound Adam in a directive but he forgot, and we found him lacking in determination. And remember when we said to the angels, prostrate yourselves before Adam. They all prostrated themselves except Satan, who refused. At this, we said to Adam, he is an enemy to you and to your wife. Let him not turn you both out of paradise, and you end up deprived. Here you shall neither be afflicted with hunger, nor remain naked, neither shall thirst bother you, nor the scorching heat. But Satan enticed him, saying, Adam, shall I not lead you to the tree of immortality and an imperishable kingdom? At last both of them ate of its fruit so that their private parts became evident to them, and they began to cover themselves with the leaves of the garden in which they lived. Thus did Adam disobey his Lord and strayed from the right path. Then his Lord chose him, accepted his repentance, and blessed him with guidance. Surah 20, verses 115 to 122. No different was the case of Moses, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never killed anyone deliberately. It was a mere coincidence that he, while helping an oppressed person, had to encounter the arrogant Coptic oppressor in a brawl. Moses, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, punched him. Unfortunately, the strike was enough to kill him. And one day he entered the city at a time when none of its people noticed him, and found two men engaged in a fight. One of them was from his own people, and the other belonged to his enemies. Then the person who belonged to his people asked for Moses' help against his enemy. So Moses struck him with his fist and killed him. Seeing this, Moses said, "This is the work of Satan. He is indeed an open enemy who leads people astray." Then Moses prayed, "Lord, I have wronged my soul. Forgive me." Consequently, the Almighty forgave him. Indeed, he is the most forgiving, the ever merciful. Surah 28, verses 15-16. Imam Amin Asan Islahi writes, "Neither did Moses, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, intend to kill the Coptic, nor did he imagine that such a situation would arise. When, absolutely inadvertently, this situation arose, he immediately felt guilt on his folly and repented before his Lord, expressing the fact that he had wronged his soul and that he be forgiven for this. Since this folly was an inadvertent act and he immediately sought repentance after it, the Almighty forgave him and he was divinely communicated this forgiveness also. God is forgiving and merciful." Reference Amin Asan Islahi, Tadabburi Quran, Volume 5, 663. These incidents in the lives of Adam sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Moses sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place before they were called to prophethood. According to the Quran, once they are given this position, prophets constantly remain under the protection and supervision of the angels. The Almighty deputes guardians over them from all sides. Every single thing that emanates from them is under scrutiny, and God keeps track whether they have accurately delivered His messages in their original form. After such an arrangement, obviously the smallest of blemishes on their part stands safeguarded. And for those whom He chooses as His prophets, they can say nothing of their own, because He guards them from behind and from the front, that He may know if they have delivered the messages of their Lord. And He surrounds whatever is around them and keeps count of all their things. Surah 72, verses 27-28. A prophet's diligence in worship. Keeping in view the obligation of prophets, at times they are required to be more extensive in their worship. The purpose of this is to provide them with peace of mind, and by means of dedicated devotion to God, bless them with purity of emotions and intellect and perseverance on what they believe and what they do. About Moses sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran in Surah 7 verses 142-145 says that when it was decided that he be given the tablets of the Torah, then, prior to this, in order to train and instruct him to bear this heavy burden, he was made to station himself in seclusion at the Mount of Sinai for 40 days. John sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent of monasticism, took to intense devotion to God and did not even marry because they wanted to spend every moment of their lives in the effort to communicate the truth to their people whose fate was being decided to the extent that they were left with no excuse to deny it. For this very reason, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit in itikaf every year and keep fasts from time to time. When he was directed to embark upon openly warning his people, besides the 5 obligatory prayers, another prayer was made obligatory on him. The time of Tahajjud was fixed for this prayer, and he was asked to read the Quran in this prayer for less than half the night or a little more. In Surah Bani Israel, this directive is stated in the words, "And at night time, pray the Tahajjud. This is a further obligation on you." Surah 17, verse 79. Similarly, in Surah Muzammil, it is stated, "O you enfolded in your shawl, stand in prayer by night, but not all night, half the night, or even less or a little more, and in this prayer of yours, recite the Quran in a slow, measured tone, because soon we shall lay on you the burden of a heavy word, the burden of open warning. Verily, this rising by night is very suitable for the mind's peace, and the heart's resolve, and for the speech's correctness. Because during the daytime you will be hard-pressed with this task, so pray at this time, and remember the name of your Lord, and in this loneliness of the night, devote yourself entirely to Him." Surah 73, verses 1-8.